get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Jake Boley on the podcast. Now, Jake has worked at some of the biggest fitness publications and magazines, including Barbend, where he was at the ground level of developing content that is now ranking number one for some of the biggest keywords in the industry, including best pre-workout and bicep workouts. After leaving Barbend, he started a few projects, but 11 months ago, one of his projects that he started, That Fit Friend, is a niche website that's focused on reviewing cross-training shoes. And this is the focus for our conversation today. In only 11 months, Jake has built a site that gets about 60,000 page views per month and has reached a full-time income. The interesting part about his website is that it is 100% affiliate content. A lot of affiliate marketers have been saying that, well, you need a specific ratio of affiliate content versus info content. And Jake is proving that that's just simply not the case. Every page on his site revolves around review and commercial type content. And the way that he is building his site, in my opinion, is going to be the gold standard for review content moving forward in affiliate marketing. We share how he's building his site for an excellent user experience and far exceeding the Google product review guidelines. If you're wondering why you're not hearing Mark or Adam, it's because I will be a guest podcast host once per month for Niche Website Builders. My name is Ben Goldberg, and recently I was interviewed by Mark on a previous episode. So if you're wanting to hear a bit more about my background, you can go back and listen to it. Without further ado, this is Jake Boley from That Fit Friend.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show, and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Today we have Jake Boley on the podcast, and Jake is a buddy of mine. We've known each other for quite a long time because we both have sites in the fitness niche. And Jake, welcome to the podcast. I want to first talk to you about your background working for Barbend. Now, for those of you who don't know Barbend, it is a health and fitness website. They're pretty much a juggernaut. They have just over 9,300 pages on their website. They rank for, you know, number one for bicep workouts, number one for best pre-workout, number one for best cross-training shoes. Some pretty serious, fitness keywords. And I believe that they drive a couple million visitors to their website every single month. So Jake actually got his start in the content game working for Fitbod. So Jake, can you just tell us a little bit about, I mean, when you started there, you know, what your role was and some of that stuff?
Yeah, man. So I was brought on as like the first quote unquote full-time employee back in 2016. I had met the head editor, David, at a photo shoot for Barbend. And basically at the time I was finishing up my master's in sports science, and I was like, hey, like, I love what you do. Can I like freelance for you? Because I was writing content at Vitamin Shoppe, which was like so freaking boring. Like, that was literally the most boring job I've ever had in my life. And so he was like, yeah, for sure, for sure. So I pitched him a couple article ideas, started writing, and like an article or two in, he was like, hey, like, we have a full-time role like opening up. Would you want to apply? And sure, yeah, I had no idea about the startup world at the time, because I was like still finishing up school. I was working as a personal trainer. I was working at corporate Vitamin Shoppe, which was starkly different than what Barbend was. But yeah, I signed on with them at 2016, started as kind of just like a content writer, getting my chops into what it was like to churn out content at a high volume, and also just become, I think, a more proficient writer, because I wouldn't call myself a novelist by any means, but like, David was very patient and very like tailored with what I was doing, right, to like build up my skill sets as a writer before exposing me to editing and all of these other skill sets that were eventually required at Barbend before I left.
Yeah. And so Barbend is like, at its core, it is a content site, right? It's a lot of sites that, you know, people, you know, our audience would be running, but I think Barbend is a little bit different. And I kind of want to explain that. Like, it is sort of run like a media company. You know, they have like a downtown office in New York. I think they've actually raised some seed capital. I think I saw somewhere at some time, maybe on Crunchbase, that they've raised, you know, a few a few hundred thousand dollars to sort of get started and up off the ground. And their mission was really to create a space in the fitness industry for people to come together around different genres of fitness, whether it be CrossFit, powerlifting, bodybuilding, you know, different activities in fitness. So it is at its core a content site. That's how they make money, through ads and affiliate and partnerships. But how did your role sort of change over time? Because I know you stepped into more of an editor role. That's where I was introduced to you. And then did you take on a lot of that SEO work as well?
So it was interesting, right? So it's like, looking back on it now, I think I have better like hindsight as to like the progressions of like the skill sets, because now that I'm doing things on my own, right, I'm implementing a lot of stuff that I'm learning now, but also like a lot of the tools that I built along the way. So it's like, for like the first few months, yeah, I was only a writer, and then I started editing for a few people, and then I started asking more questions about SEO, because like the whole idea of the site was to rank for certain terms. Right. So like when I would be on a mission, they'd be like, we want to rank for this. And then so like my idea was like, okay, I got to create like the best kind of content to rank for this term. And so doing that and just exposing myself to that type of volume of content and ask regularly kind of helped me see, okay, like what works well, what are the competitors doing that is working well, but that we could beat them on? And like, how can we level up this game of content basically that was lacking, I think, in the strength sports industry and still kind of is, to be quite honest. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of not great sites out there, and that's why Barbend is such a freaking tank, because they do it so damn well. Yeah. And so, yeah, man, it was like just having frequent exposure and understanding what to look for when it comes to competitors, but then also like the kind and kind of like top tier content we wanted to build. It helped like me create this eye for what to look for. And now it's like funny, because now when I create content and stuff, I don't really think about it too much, but I just do it, you know? Yeah. Like, when you do it enough, you don't really think about it. You just kind of know. You're like, okay, like, I know exactly what this article would need to like kind of help edge out the rest, right, of the competitors, et cetera.
Yeah. And I do want to get into sort of the stuff that you're doing on your own, because I mean, I think that you're building an affiliate site right now that is going to be sort of the standard for affiliate sites in the future, especially how Google's treating affiliate content. But when it comes to Barbend, did they have a fairly big SEO team? Or were you like the only guy, sort of like they would give you a keyword, or they would give authors a keyword, and then you had to sort of, you know, implement a lot of the on-page stuff?
We did not have a big SEO team. The thing is, like, so the guys that were kind of like my mentors and folks who looked over me, like, they're freaking wizards at it. But like, our company was only technically like quote unquote four deep for like 2-ish years, even more than that. And so a lot of the stuff was that they knew what they wanted to accomplish. And also like, they were putting a lot on us to like, hey guys, like, we need help figuring this out. Like, let's try to figure out how to get this content to rank well. Cause like, they were doing like the backlinking and like stuff on the back end that, like, as a writer and editor, it wasn't necessarily so much of my role to do.
Right.
my job was to build out like the best kind of content, but also understand the mission of that content,
right?
Because that can then help formulate the eye for it. But no, we did not have a big SEO team at all. It was like a couple of guys who just head down, had an idea, had a vision, and just that's literally the essence of Barbend, I think. And that's like the big thing that that company taught me was just to be a gritty motherfucker. And and just like, dude, we have like a team of five in men's health. You have like what, 30? And we'll beat you. It's okay.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So there was somebody that was setting out the strategy, like saying, okay, here's the cluster of keywords that we want to go after for, you know, maybe this quarter or whatever. And then you obviously had the writers. You had you as the sort of quality checker in terms of like managing the quality of the content and sort of laying out the vision for the writers. Like, you know, we want this to be epic, pretty epic content. And then in terms of like, and this is something I always wondered about Barbend. Like, it doesn't seem to me like they have a huge focus on backlinks, on acquiring backlinks. It seems like they get a whole lot naturally, but was there a strategy there for that? And were you involved with that?
Not so much. Like, we started out doing like this little casual thing where we were asking like CrossFit boxes and some gyms to link us. But like that project actually, I wouldn't say it didn't die because it was like put into somebody else's hands versus like mine, where I was better served writing and editing and shit. But there wasn't really that much of a push on it. And now how much they did on the back end, like, I can't speak to that because I don't know. But that's kind of like how I approach my website too, where it's like,
right,
I don't really go out of my way for backlinks. I just try to build a network of folks and deliver such a good quality that things just kind of happen. And I mean, obviously there always needs to be some push here and there. And like, you do need to put your head down and focus on it at times, but there wasn't a huge push for it, man. Not as much as I think most folks would think. And yeah, it was like, we knew that if we built out the best types of content, eventually people would see us as like the authority and eventually link to us. And I think like outside of like the backend stuff that they were doing, that was kind of like the approach that I at least took at the company, where it's like, if I build out the best thing on the internet where people are like, oh fuck, like I can't beat this, plus he has like a master's in sports science and is an actual coach, like we'll just link to him and like write our own little thing, but give them like the link to like this bigger, beefier piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild to see Barbend with a couple million visitors a month and ranking for some major keywords, affiliate keywords, supplement keywords, without, you know, too much of a formula when it comes to backlinks, because, you know, you would expect that would be, you know, part of the process there. However, one of the things that's unique about, and this is something that I've always sort of wondered, is, you know, there's 9,000 pages on the website, and Barbend does publish a lot of content around news and news related information. And so there's this big news engine on the back end, where you're trying to cover, you know, bodybuilding events and CrossFit events and stuff like that, which isn't really ranking for, you know, any specific SEO keyword. But I do notice when you look at the backlink profile that there is a lot of links going to that stuff. And what's your thought process around sort of that news side of the organization? Is that one way that is a good way to sort of acquire links? And what was the other purpose of sort of wanting to establish the that news content?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the core of it, Barbend was designed to be not only like a massive fitness outlet, obviously providing high quality content, but also being like the front news runner for strength sports, because there really wasn't anybody who was covering all the sports at the time. And so with that strategy, like the way I conceptualize it and the way I see it, and this is not me speaking for them by any means, it's like, that traffic is, yeah, it's not going to be like so evergreen to where it's going to rank and constantly bring content, I mean, views. But at the same time, like when you do publish it, there is a timeliness of it. And if that event gets referenced in a Wikipedia page or on someone else's page where they're looking up, like writing about this athlete and their past stuff, like that is a sneaky, nice way to get backlinks without necessarily going out of your way to do it. So it's like, if you're covering this big bodybuilding event and you cover it the best out of everybody else, and that eventually gets referenced down the road on someone else's site, and they don't know the info on it because like strength sports are so poorly covered, but if we have the best content, it's very easy then for folks to come to us and be like, oh shit, like look at like this is really well built out piece by Barbend, like we'll just reference it here because we don't know enough context here and we don't know obviously enough on it. It's just easier to link to them. So I think it's a nice way to get backlinks. I experimented with that on TF2 actually, with the Nike Metcon 7 release, when I had like some early info date from my friend over there at Nike, and it did pretty well, and I got a couple of backlinks on it, like not huge, right. But it's like it's a good example of how news content, while not always being the best when it comes to like the evergreen organic growth of a site, can be really nice for one, creating higher traffic in the moment to help lend its hand to authority, but then also potentially get backlinks down the road when that stuff is being called on by other writers, other media outlets who may not have the coverage or context to do that properly.
I just recently acquired a website, and I've been sort of looking at a lot of competitor websites, and I noticed that one of the competitor websites has this news section of their site, and like, yeah, like 80% plus of their links are going to their news content. And it just sort of got me thinking, like, I know I've never done news content. I wouldn't even know where to start with news content, but it does seem to be like a viable strategy. I actually tried to reach out to that site and the one with the news content, and I offered to buy their site, but they weren't having it. And yeah, my intention was to sort of buy that new site and then merge it with my existing site that I purchased. But anyways, yeah, that's interesting. Let's transition into sort of what you're doing now, because you mentioned it, TF2, which is That Fit Frame. And this is a project that you left Barbend, and this is sort of, you took a lot of the knowledge that you learned from there. And then just with other things, other experiences, and you started this brand called That Fit Frame. You have an amazing YouTube channel. It's growing, and you have just an amazing content website. Can you just talk about sort of what the site is and what you guys cover?
Yeah, for sure. So when you say you guys, it's just me.
I just mean you.
just sadly me and my multiple personalities. yeah, man. So it's really funny, because when I left Barbend, I had the aspiration to start a coaching company with my buddy Ojin, who runs like a very big Instagram page.
And yeah, that's so right. Like 700,000 people on his Instagram.
And so it's funny, like, just to give a little bit of background there, like the reason we started working together, we created this free ebook. We sent it out live like the year prior before I physically left and put in my letter of resignation. And like that ebook had like 30,000 downloads in 48 hours. And we were like, holy crap, like there's something here. Let's build a business. And so fast forward to about a year, we ironed out this idea. We'll do the subscription training service, nutrition service. We started up. And we had a sharp realization that, number one, signups were not as fast, because it's obviously a paid product. Everybody wants free. Nobody wants paid. And I think it was a tough realization, realizing like, oh, like you have all these people that love your content, but they're not willing to pay. So it was like a pretty annoying. Yeah. And I think that created some tension too. Not like outwardly, because me and Ojin are still homies and like really good friends. And Physique Lab still runs in the back end. We don't really touch it. But 6 months rolls by and we're doing that. And I just like was very unhappy at the time. And like, man, I just do not like what we're doing. Like, I don't agree with the vision that you have. You don't agree with my vision for what I want this site to be. And so I started thinking, I was like, okay, well, like I'm still building up my YouTube channel. I'm like dabbling with shoes here and there, because like at Barbend, like I built up the whole training shoe vertical when it comes to reviews. Like, yeah, that was an assignment like assigned to me, but like I went out of my way to find all the PR contacts, build those up, like do events for shoes. And like, that's something that was so interesting to me. And there was like a point in time in Barbend too, where I literally wanted to create a shoe, and like, I still do eventually, but like shoes have always been like something that I've been so interested in and like eventually want to build. So I started thinking, I was like, well, I really love shoe content still. And like, there's just such bad content out there. And I started up TF2 like kind of on a whim, just like, hey, I'm going to build up this site focused on men's workout apparel and training shoes. And so I started that up in late February. So we're coming up on the 1 year birthday relatively soon. And yeah, man, like I started dipping my toes like here and there, and I started publishing at a slightly higher volume because I was very unhappy with Physique Lab. And I realized like, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do. And now I'm like feeling more at peace with my decision to start TF2. But essentially, for anybody who's listening, That Fit Friend is a brand designed to give like real reviews from like a lifter and a coach and a guy who's just like most folks. Because my biggest caveat and issue with the industry that I'm in is that you have all these people pumping out reviews on training gear who don't freaking train or who don't actually use the gear. And it's like so clear to tell. And so it's like, with the use of the YouTube channel and like being a coach, it's like, hey guys, like this is the context here. Like, here is the actual footage of me using the gear and actually testing it. This site that's just sharing these stock photos, like, they're just paraphrasing what everyone else is saying.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the driving force there. It's kind of like a, truthfully, like a middle finger to all these other shit fucking content sites in my industry and niche.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know. So, I mean, there are a lot of bad content websites. I mean, we see them. Interesting progression there. So from Barbend, you tried to partner with a buddy to launch another website called Physique Lab. Basically built off the back of his Instagram, his 700,000 Instagram account. Found it was really hard to convert that Instagram audience into sort of website visitors and website subscribers. Ran it for about a year, and then you sort of broke off now to that FitFriend, or for short, TF2. And you've been running that almost a year now. So that's a good progression and sort of understanding of what that FitFriend is. I'm an admirer of the website, because I think that there is a lot of talk in the SEO world that Google hates affiliate content. That Google is trying to penalize affiliate content, and there's even some website owners, some YouTubers, who sort of YouTube about their portfolio of websites, who say, I'm not going to put a single affiliate link on my website, because they're afraid that Google sees affiliate links as whatever, poor quality or whatever. But it really has nothing to do, in my opinion, that there's affiliate content. It's just that how that affiliate content is displayed on the website and the quality of that content. Now, your site, I mean, you have, I'm just looking here on Ahrefs here, you have 248 pages on the website, which is incredible for just you.
I don't sleep.
writing that content, and you're 11 months coming up on 12 months. Pretty insane. But every single page has an affiliate link. Like, every single page is a review, right? Either an individual review, comparison, a roundup. And so it is an affiliate website, and your traffic has just been on a super steady, steep incline. Tell me, I want to dive into how you produce a piece of content. So first, like, walk me through, like, so shoes, right? And specifically training shoes is what you're, I mean, it's crazy that you've written 248 pieces of content just on training shoes. Like, I mean, that's an insane amount of relevancy to a particular topic and expertise. So how do you think about that keyword research process? So start there. Like, how are you sort of coming up with all of these keywords?
Yeah. So there is apparel in there too. So it's not just training shoes, but also, and for the record, just so listeners know, like, there, it started out with just training shoes, and now I'm dabbling into trail running and running shoes, and also barefoot shoes, because those are avenues that I'm getting interested in. And just for the record too, like, I publish a lot, but also, like, I'm training all the time and constantly burning myself out. I probably burn myself out like every other week training and like trying to push to do these. So just, it's not healthy to do, folks. And like, I realize,
like, do you mean like burned out, like trying to test this apparel?
Yeah, dude, like, I'm constantly like hitting walls, like, with my physical limits, like, because every week, like, when I do a shoe review, like there's different buckets of shoes, obviously. And so I have a different means of reviewing different shoes. So for like training shoes, I want at least 5 workouts in them. I want 2 heavier sessions. I want 2 athletic focus sessions. And then I want just more of like a general, like, daily wear recreational session where I'll go and do some bodybuilding stuff. And now that's obviously contextual on the shoe, because if it's more CrossFit focused, I'll bias towards more like CrossFit style training. If it's more of like a shoe for like squatting, deadlifting, etc., I'll bias the training there. But that being said, with all the training, like, I'm constantly like hitting walls of like, I just can't handle any more volume, so I'll have to take like 2 or 3 days off completely of training. But like, when I look at creating that content, right? So it's like, there's.
So do you literally take like every single like model of every single type of shoe that designates itself as a training shoe and say, okay, like, my mission here is to actually review every single one of these shoes?
Honestly, kind of, yes. And what helps too is like the community on the YouTube channel is super great, because they're constantly suggesting models too, which then helps also like direct what people are actually interested in. So outside of just my like own keyword research, quote unquote, like, I think it's really important to have a community that can help kind of drive and direct where you should be spending your attention. Like, I just ordered and got a Nike model in yesterday that I had no idea about, but it was suggested by one of my subscribers. And, you know, if he's asking, that's probably a shoe that other folks have interest in that doesn't probably have a lot of search. Look up the shoe. Lo and behold, no reviews. No videos on it. And it's like, yeah, it's a lower price ticket shoe, but at the same time, like, people don't want to waste their money. And that's kind of how right. I look at review content, because I know a bad site when I see one. And what really motivates me, man, is like, I think about like my mom looking up training shoes, because she asks all the time about like training shoes and running shoes. And like, she's going to go to one of these sites that doesn't really know. Like, she's going to go there and not know that it's not a great site and that there's nobody actually testing it. So she's going to then buy this. And it's like, I hate that shit. So it's a little bit of both, like my own keyword research, but then also the community driving what I should be looking at. And just being also like in the know. And now I've been doing shoe reviews now, dude, for like close to 5 years. So it's kind of like a formulaic process. Once you've done it long enough, you know what models are coming. You know what companies drop, what it when. So then you have a better feel of partitioning kind of the content you're going to build over like the next month or so for certain models. Bigger models, I see there being a lot of benefit to doing a lot of cluster style content, so doing comparisons to other big models and stuff like that, because obviously people want to know that before they waste their money. And so that kind of also helps drive that, to where it's like, sometimes, man, I don't even use keyword research or keywords as like my driving factor for some of like my more niche articles. It's just like, hey, I'm a lifter and I want this shoe for this, but like, how, like, what do I actually want to know? And that's what I kind of where I kind of let that drive.
Yeah, I think that industry knowledge, like actually like doing it for 5 years, you know, and then starting a content site, it's like, yeah, you sort of already know like the opportunities in a way. So there's a couple of things here, right? Like, you're testing every single shoe that goes on your website, right? So are you purchasing all of those shoes?
For the most part, yeah. Like, I would say it's like right now it's like probably like a 60-40 split. Like, I probably purchase 60% of the models, and then 40% like I still have contacts at like Nike, Adidas, Reebok, and they'll send me gear. So that's nice, but it's like, I tell them straight up, I'm like, hey, like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Like I'm going to review this regardless. Like, I will buy it on my own. Like, it really helps like front the cost. And like, I would love to build out content for y'all, but at the same time, like, if it sucks, it sucks. And like, I have no problem fucking bashing that shoe. And most companies are really cool about it, because it's like, hey, like, if I bash your shoe, that's only going to lead to innovation, which then it's like, when I review your next model, that's way better with all the feedback. It's going to be like, dude, this company's fucking awesome. Like, they listen to the feedback, versus like a Nike who like has a good product and then decides to fuck it up for the next model. Like, it frustrates the shit out of me. So it's like almost like smaller companies who are like always a little bit more hesitant to like send out models. It's like, you have to explain the process, where it's like, hey man, like, even if the shoe doesn't like do that well, and I'm not that big of a fan of it, that will only lead to more positive feedback. And it's like, at the end of the day too, if somebody is going to buy a model or buy a piece of gear, likely they're not going to give a shit about what I say. They're just trying to like validate their confirmation bias. So really, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I reviewed a shoe recently that like was not very durable, ripped kind of fast, and like, it was an okay shoe, but there's definitely areas where it could improve. But it's like funny, because like, I've had since two people shoot me messages like, oh, I bought this model, like, it's been solid, like, I actually found your review after I bought it. So it's like, it doesn't really truthfully matter in a lot of ways. But to answer your question, I purchase probably a little bit more than half of my models right now. So it's like 60-ish percent. Right. And then 40-ish I get sent to me by companies who just I have relationships with and like try to stay in the know with.
So how do you develop an affiliate relationship with like Nike? Like, how do you get on, like, how do you get a guy on the other end of the phone from Nike? Like, how did that happen? Or like Reebok or any of these other companies you work with. Like, I mean, I imagine that there's people listening to this who are just like, well, in whatever industry that they're in, they're just like, okay, I wish I could work with that company, you know, develop a partnership with that company, you know, and they're, you know, like, you've developed these relationships with a site that is like only 11 months old, right? And so it's like, and so it's a new site. It's not established. It's not like it gets millions and millions of visitors a month. So how do you even get those relationships?
Yeah, so it's interesting too, because like working at Barbin, like I had to build those up, and it was like a little bit different because like, yeah, that one-off company would reach out to us, but in a lot of ways it was like me going to events that I knew of in New York City and like networking the shit out of those and trying to make really good connections. But that being said, like to give some, I would say, more actionable stuff that I've learned over the last 11 months for companies that I don't have any connections with, it's just one, like figure out every means that you can reach out to them, because different companies will have different staff for different things. So like sometimes you can hit up a company's Instagram page, for example, and you'll have a really great feedback. They're like, oh yeah, shoot this person an email and they'll get right to you right really quick. And sometimes that works, and that's like the pie in the sky. Sometimes you can reach out to their customer contact support page, but that's usually often really not great because those folks don't know who to actually send you to. But what's worked really well for me, man, truthfully, is build the content first. Like that's how So that's kind of like been my my saving grace in some ways, because it's like I know how to build content well, and I'm testing these folks' shoes. And like I think a lot of times companies will get so many asks from all these different influencers, athletes, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you know what? You know what's going to get their attention? Building out really great content first before asking for products. So like a good example of this would be like Salomon. So I was trying to get in touch with Salomon for trail running shoes. Big fan of their brand. And like I was having no luck. And so I went literally on LinkedIn, dude. I went on LinkedIn, typed in Salomon Public Relations and Salomon like project manager, found a guy who is pretty high up at the company and sent him over a review and go, hey man, like this is the site I run. This is the vertical I'm trying to get into. This is something I've already built for you guys. Like, is there any potential like that you can connect us? And so lo and behold, like 3 days go by. He's like, dude, so sorry. I just now seeing this, like, this is sick. Like here, contact this person, go from there. And so that's been a huge thing. And I think a lot of times folks get in their head where it's like, oh, like I'm never going to be able to get in contact with this person. But it's like, if you build really great content first and put it right in front of them, no company in their right mind is going to say like, oh no, we don't want to work with you. They're going to be like, holy shit, like this is great. Like, thank you so much for the exposure. Like, what more can we work with you on, you know?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, yeah, it's kind of like building out the spreadsheet now with all these contacts and companies that I have like emails for, and just kind of trying to be like, almost like not like hounding them all the time, but just be a friend, be like, hey, like, what can I do for you? Like, what can I do for you? I'm building out this content. I have an idea here. Like, could you assist here in the sense of like sending product over? I have an idea. And just staying regularly on their radar as a site that's trying to grow.
Yeah. I found success in that too. Actually purchasing the product, writing a review, you know, showing the pictures that I took, showing, you know, whatever tests that I set up, you know, making sure that it looks like a piece of content that, you know, just isn't regurgitated from Amazon reviews or other websites, and putting that in front of the company after it's published. I found that is a really solid way to build relationships. Over time, at least for me, that's led to increased commissions down the road. And then a ton of free product, like especially if these companies have other SKUs, other sort of product lines, they're more than willing to send you product, and like pretty surprisingly, like expensive products. You know, recently I had a company send me a $500 product to test, and yeah, I mean, just incredible. You know, once you sort of start building those relationships, so. I see that, yeah, so that relationship piece is key. It seems like you did that sort of right from the beginning, like right from the beginning of your site. It seemed like you had some prior contacts with Barbin, but it also seems like you've established sort of a ton of different relationships since starting. I do want to talk about you two, but maybe this will sort of blend together, but your content is really unique. Like, your content doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like normal reviews on the internet. Like, do you have a template that you use? Like, you're saying like, okay, I want to cover these things when it comes to an individual product review, or I want to cover, like, even your roundups don't look like other roundups, on the internet. So like, is there a template that you use? And then like, how do you differentiate? Like, what are you doing with your content when you're actually sitting down and writing it, so that people know that it's like, okay, I actually tested this. You know, like talk me through that process.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know if this is like a norm or if this is kind of just like how I do things, but I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. And like, I don't, like, I'll look at competitors to see where they're ranking, but I don't physically look at their content. Like, my first review and like my first roundup was not built off of like an idea of what other people were doing. I did not give a fuck, to be quite honest. And the way I look at it is like, I'm a frugal son of a bitch, and I know a lot of athletes are as well. Like, there's so much shit thrown at us on a regular basis. The last thing I want to do is spend my money on a terrible product. So when I think about reviews, like, there are core things that I know need to be included. So like, who is this product right for? The sizing of this product. How does it compare to another comparable product? Is there, if there is like an older model or a comp out there? And then from there, man, it's like, just understanding like how that product is going to be used and then talking on it and trying to build out like this nice cohesive flow that has a feel to it. So then every time you go to one of my reviews, you know exactly what to expect. You know the flow of it. It may not be so keyword optimized, but at the same time, like, I don't like content that is so formulaic like that. And I think as Google gets better at recognizing context and good reviews and stuff, and like you spoke on this earlier, like, oh, like, some folks think like affiliate links are bad and like it's poor quality. No, like, I don't think so. And the writing's on the wall. If you look at like the updates from this past year, how much time Google spent updating their review, to like basically how they read review content,
their guidelines.
Like,
yeah,
they spent a lot of time updating that, and like, they're not going to do that because they hate affiliates. They're doing that because they want to help elevate the game and get people to better content. And that's kind of like how I look at it. And I just take this hat that's like, okay, if I'm just a normal user, like, what do I want to read? And then I try to blend that with the hat of like the SEO guy of like, okay, like, these are the things about this shoe or like this piece of apparel that people will search for. They're going to look for sizing. They're going to look for like, what's it best for. But outside of that, like, what more could I tell them in the context of how this thing is going to be used? So like, if I'm talking about a Metcon, not just like talking about like some arbitrary shit, but talking about how it will do for CrossFit, how it will do for lifting. Can you use it for running? These are all things that people would want to know about that I think a lot of these sites miss the mark on because they write like fucking robots and they think like, oh, like, this is what people are searching. And it's like, yeah, people are searching that. But at the same time, like, be a damn human, because Google's only getting better at recognizing, I think, authority behind pieces of content, but also context of content and like being able to better recognize like, oh, this piece has like multiple layers to it. It's not just like, this shoe is best for this because of this, because of this. And it's like, cool, you read the product page and you just fucking paraphrase what they wrote and guess, like, sick. And so that, on top of, I think, having a strong media backing is really important as well. So like, we know from the Google guidelines, like, they want more video, they want more photo. Like, the days of just dropping out affiliate links in a fucking stock photo article, they're coming to an end. And that's a good thing, because I think it's going to make people elevate their game and actually get their toes a little bit more wet when it comes to reviewing product and being really solid about it. So doing all of those things and tying them together has really helped. I wish I had like a really fun, like, this is exactly what I do. But like, truthfully, like, I don't look at other people's websites because I think it creates a bias. And also, like, you know me, like, I'm always texting you because I always have like a little bit of imposter syndrome here and there. And it only makes that worse for me. So I just like try to put on my hat as an athlete, as a lifter, as a consumer, think about what I would want to see, and then try to do my best with blending that SEO side and background to create this human approach that also has like ties in SEO, you know, that's not just like so formulaic and boring.
I think it's going to be harder and harder to get into a niche if you don't truly understand that niche, because you're going to miss out on the various use cases for, just like you're saying, how you have one shoe, but there could be so many different other use cases. And if you don't understand those individual use cases, you're missing some of those things. It's not as applicable. I mean, I'm looking at one of your reviews right now, and it's like, you have no problem saying, you know, what the cons are. And I think that Google wants to see cons and want not just a bulleted list, but like explain like where the limitations of that product are. And you do a really good job in terms of like, even in just individual product reviews, like comparing that product to like previous models. So showing the history of the product, and that piece is baked right into the Google guidelines now, right? They want to know what the progression is. They want to know how it compares with actually other products and other brands as well. And you're doing all those things sort of naturally. I don't know if you're actually like looking at the guidelines and saying, okay, like I have to do this, or if it's just like naturally coming into your writing because you just understand how thorough you need to be for your audience. And then, yeah, like a ton of different sort of, media elements to this as well, right? Like the custom photos, the close-ups of certain aspects of the shoe. And then when it comes to your roundups, like one thing that I think having 250 pieces of content on your website, just all focused around shoes, I think it, and maybe you can talk to me a bit about sort of how you view this, but it seems to me like there's this really intricate web of internal linking and clustering going on your website, because you, even in a roundup, like every single shoe has an individual product review, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like there's not a single, yeah, it almost seems like every article is just like meshed into various clusters. Like, are you purposely planning that out, or is that just sort of naturally happen as you're like doing your roundups? You're like, well, yeah, obviously I have these other shoes that I'm reviewing, so I'm gonna naturally link to them. Or is there some sort of purposeful sort of structure to it all?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of two things. First, there is purpose behind it, and there is like the idea of creating the strong link of interlinks, or like the strong web of interlinks for that matter. And then the second part of it is that I can't tell you enough, Ben, like I cannot stand when companies post these roundups by these authors who have clearly not tested all the different models. So I make a huge point to be like, hey, read this individual review that I did. Read this individual review that I did. Because like, cool, like you built this roundup, but you've only really actually tested two of the 10 models you wanted to list. And you're only listing these models because they're relevant, they're highly searched, and you don't really have a fucking clue. Right. And you're just kind of comparing it based off the specs and what other people have wrote on reviews. Like, I think that's so shitty. And and so like there's obviously the strategy behind it. So similar to how I write reviews, like there is a strategy and background to it, but also it's like kind of like this middle finger for me to the bigger companies who are like have ghostwriters doing a lot of this stuff, where it's like, fuck you, like I'm actually doing all this. Here's videos to literally every single review I've done on these shoes. Like, here's the context, here is the proof is in the pudding. And so I think my stubbornness is a blessing and a curse in some ways. And so the blessing in this case is like, I think if you're a consumer and you're coming to the site and you're looking at a roundup and you see that this author has literally done reviews and videos on every single model they're mentioning, it helps add to the authority. And now where the drawback is like your volume and your production are capped obviously by hours in the day. So like while it would be cool to have more models implemented, sometimes like I just can't get to them, and it sucks because like then it like prolongs my building of this roundup, because like I want more time to test all of the models. I don't want to put up a roundup with just like four shoes. Like I want like, hey, like I've actually tested 20 models. These are the 8 best, you know?
Right.
So there is a drawback to that approach, but to answer your question, it's two things. Number one, yes, there's strategy to the interlinking. It's making sure that if I include a shoe in a roundup or include a product in a roundup, people can go to that individual review and read more, because if they're interested in it, they're going to want more context most likely. So boom, giving them that context is really important. And then two, it's kind of like my middle finger to like all these companies who are building out these roundups who have no fucking clue. And that's like, you can see them misspelling the names of the company. It's just like, God, you grind my gears.
Yeah. And like, you're seeing good results from that. Like even on an 11 month site, I mean, you're ranking pretty high for a lot of major keywords in your industry. There's definitely results there. Like you're ranking like number 2 to Nike on some keywords and stuff like that, which is like pretty amazing. It almost seems like a bottom up approach is what you're doing. Like if you're doing all these individual sort of shoe reviews, then when you do get to the roundup, it's just very easy to sort of be able to figure out what's going to be in that top list and then interlink them accordingly. And then even in that roundup, you could say, well, I also tested these other models, you can go check them out, but they didn't make my top list, sort of thing.
Exactly.
You also have a couple interesting features on your site. I mean, I do want to talk about how YouTube fits into all of this. but you do have a couple of interesting features on your site. So one is like you've sort of created this, and I think this just comes down to like the branding of your site, which is you've created this like your own That Fit Friend sort of scale on how you measure the quality of a shoe. Can you talk about that? And like, how is that going? Like, are people sort of like responding to that? Like, it's like, oh, That Fit Friend, you know, I think, explain what that scale is, and then maybe share whether people are sort of responding to it.
Yeah. So I think speaking on the idea of adding context, right, and having these multiple layers to the content, I think it's really important, especially if you're building a niche site and it's focused on reviews within your niche, building out this really cohesive means of delivering really in-depth stuff. So like to what you said, like talking on like these really in-depth paragraphs, like the cons and stuff, but also having a system in place too, that it's like, okay, if you're coming to this model, if you're coming to this review really fast and you just want the nuts and bolts and you've seen my stuff before, having this little system built out that is very easy to read. It quickly identifies where it's going to excel if it's right for you. And then provides like different links, because again, with the Google review updates, like they want multiple places to buy the shoe. So then having a plugin that provides multiple outlets there, I think is also just really important. So it started out as like an idea of like, okay, like I have the in-depth content with the reviews, the video, the explanation, like the longer paragraphs, but like if I'm that person who's in a rush who just wants to see something quick, like what is it do I want to see? Like what qualities in a shoe? What do I want to know? And it's like, for me, that's like what the shoe is best for, what it sucks for. And like in the context of a training shoe, it's like the stability, versatility, and like the durability of it or the quality of it.
Right.
And then I have that rotate a little bit for apparel and stuff, because obviously how is a piece of shorts stable? So I have it rotate a little bit. But it's built out with the idea that, not everybody's going to want to come and read an article for 5 minutes. Some people are just going to want to come and get the nuts and bolts. So providing them that with quick links is a really nice tool, and it provides a nice feel to the site. And I had that like built out by a developer. So definitely worth the investment if anybody's thinking about building their own kind of plugins and stuff on that front. Because I tried to use one from Elementor, and that shit was bust as shit.
Yeah. So it's basically like a scale. It's like that. It's like TF2. So That Fit Friend. It's TF2's rating scale. And it's essentially like, it basically, for any product, you can basically fit it into this rubric that, you know, gives you a rating for different categories. And it's sort of unique to your website. And yeah, it's an interesting concept. I've seen some other websites do it, but I haven't seen them do it as well as you. And I think more websites should consider something like that, especially if you're trying to create a brand. Like there's just certain companies, there's certain websites where it's like, if you're looking for a tech product, you're going to go to this specific website because you're going to look for the review on that specific website. Right. And so what makes you actually associate tech with that website? And I think it's elements like this, where it's like, maybe you've been associated with That Fit Friend. You've seen like the TF2 scale, you've seen the TF2 sort of rubric, and you're just like, okay, anytime I need sort of training apparel or shoes, like I want the TF2 rubric because I know that that's like the gold standard or whatever. Now I think it's hard to develop that on day one, but I think if once you start to develop like some of these brand elements, I think it can be, I think it does help like drive direct traffic. People are then searching you out. Yeah, I think it standardizes a lot of the reviews because you can compare across shoes, across reviews with this rubric. Anything else to add to that? Because well, I think you've also developed something else cool on your website that I want to talk about.
It's really funny that you said that too, because like the idea came from two different things. Like one, I was desperately in the need, because like when I started the site, like I was still doing like links, and like it did not look that great. So I was like in desperate need of making it more visual, and building out this tool that could be really just easy to use, mobile friendly, because so many people are on mobile right now. Like I don't even really care about desktop optimization anymore. It's mostly just mobile for the site. But yeah, like it came from that. But then also to anybody else who's starting out, like it takes time to develop that. But like what helped me kind of develop this is I was actually looking for a MacBook at the time. And so this is funny that you said tech, because I believe it's PC Mag. They have like a beautiful table and like different plugins for buying product. And I was like, this is fucking sick. Like I need to figure out how to do this for TF2, brand it with some coloring and make it like more of like an athletic shoe feel, but like this is so easy because like me as a consumer who knows fuck all about Max really, I was like, I just need to know the specs. Like how, what's the battery? Right. What's the CPU? Like how, what's the RAM on this thing? And so that was kind of like the inspiration there. So I think if you are somebody who's building out like a niche review site, think about what you would want to see that would be like super easy user-friendly that you could easily replicate then for multiple products. But then also look at some of these like really big like tech guys, because like I think the tech companies do it best because they obviously have like a lot of money to play with because their products yeah. are so much and their affiliates are probably insane. But yeah, like I don't know. It's been one of those things that's like been a developing process, but it took me like 3 or 4 months to build that out and like, okay, like this is it. Like I'm going to run with this for at least a while until yeah. I innovate it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because it's not one of the first things that you think about in terms of like building a niche site. But yeah, I think it definitely has helped with your growth. I think the other thing that's really cool on your website here that you've developed, which I'd love to hear more about, is the shoe calculator. Because the shoe calculator is again, something that you sort of custom developed, but you do refer to it a lot in various articles. Like it's like, hey, you haven't found your right shoe. You don't think this shoe is right for you. Take our shoe calculator. And it's kind of like a quiz format, but it's done in sort of a cool way. Maybe you want to explain it. And then at the output, it basically asks about your different use cases and sort of what activities you're involved in. But then at the output, it outputs, I don't know if it's one model or two models, or there's a few choices there, but it basically is like, puts you into the shoes that are going to be right for you. And again, it's so natural to then have affiliate links on them because, right, like it's like custom tailored to their use case. Can you walk through what that is and how's the success on that?
Yeah, so that was actually one of the first things I built for the site. So like obviously I was building out content, but like that was probably the bigger first project I built. I had this idea that was like, okay, I have all these different shoes and I know that it can be overwhelming. So if I'm a beginner, I'm going to be wicked overwhelmed. Like how could I feed somebody really great results and content just based off of like what they're going to be using the shoes for? So then taking a step back and identifying the questions that you would want to ask about a shoe. So like, how heavy do you plan to train? How often do you plan to run in these? How, why do you like your shoe fit? Like, are you a narrow foot, neutral, wide, whatever? And so basically on the back end of the site, I have a system for any cross training shoe, because it's only focused on cross training shoes, where I have different 5 subcategories where I'll rank a shoe. And so then that way too, when people are clicking through, it's like tallying up points for the models that match their needs best. So right. by the end of the quiz, there's, I think, believe 5 questions. It spits out 3 answers, basically, like your best fit, a pretty good fit, and then like a third runner-up fit. And so those results then get spit out with the review article, which then obviously has right. the video and everything in it, but then also like a quick link to buy that model right there. And so does the calculator convert a ton in regard to like direct conversions? Not so much, but that's not why I use it. The reason I wanted that, and especially early on, is because like as a new site, like you have to fight and fight and fight to get as much traffic as you can to show authority, at least in my opinion, at a faster rate.
Yep.
And so why I like the calculator is because if you're using that calc, you're going to be on the site for longer. You're going to be clicking right. through 5 or 6 pages. That's going to help then contribute to the overall analytics of what you are doing with the site. It shows Google that you're interacting with the site. It shows that you're on the right. site longer. And so I use that as a tool to kind of help boost the time on page and the user experience and to give people like a better feel for the brand. But then also after, I believe like about a month ago, I put on an email capture on that now too. So I'm using it as like an email right. capture as well.
Beauty.
So it's like a nice passive way to generate some emails to get like an exclusive TF2 community list going to piggyback off the YouTube channel and stuff. But yeah, I use it more so just to give people like more stuff to interact with on the site and to play yeah. with. And like, I don't care if people convert at the end of it, truthfully. If they want to check out the reviews, sick. But at the same time, like, I don't have ads on those pages for a reason. Like, I want you to like have a good user experience, click through and get more context into which models right. would be best. Because if you see those 3 models, you might not buy then. You might not even read those reviews, but then those 3 shoes are in your head and you'll probably eventually come back to read more on the site.
Yeah, man. you've just done so much in 11 months, like building out 250 pieces of content, building out these different tools on your website. Yeah, actually testing like over, I don't know, hundreds of different products. And then you also have the YouTube channel that you run, and you're pumping out like, I don't know, 2 or 3 videos a week or maybe more. I'm not quite sure now how many, but this is where you're basically reviewing the shoe, but in video form, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And so on the channel, there's two different realms of content. There's review content and then there's training content, because like as an athlete, as a coach, I still think it's important. Like, will I share as much training content as TF2 grows? Probably not. But I do think it's important to be like, hey, like I'm a coach lifter. I'm educating myself constantly. Like, this is how I'm evolving. Here are things that you can do as a lifter to like improve your training. And I think it's nice because like, yeah, it's not as niche to where it's like if people just want shoes, they might get turned off by the fitness content. But at the same time, like it's YouTube. You don't have to watch every video. But I think it's nice to have that little layer of content there to help drive, one, more views to the channel, which then helps add more authority to all the videos in general. But then number two, help add authority to like, yeah, I'm like a coach. Like I'm actually in the game here. Like if you want to talk biomechanics, we could talk that. And I could talk about how this shoe will change your biomechanics based off of what you're trying to do. And with review videos, especially like focus on training shoes, they take a similar format to my articles. And that is on purpose because I want like when that video is basically linked in my review, if you want to play that while you're reading through, I want things to be somewhat similar, like not exactly the same stuff as I want the visual aspect of the video. But I want you to have like this just really like good user experience in general of like what you're consuming. If you want to know about this shoe, that's like, even if it's only $80, like you're going to have the literal like best approach possible. If you like read that review, if you watch that video, you will know everything you need to know about that shoe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the approach I take with it, because with Google, I think leveling up their review game, video review is going to only get more important because people are becoming more visually focused versus like just search and article focused. So being able to tie those together, I think also just helps add to the authority of the site as well. It's like, why would you trust like a Men's Health that literally has none of their photos like testing the model versus like me, where it's like, hey, here's me squatting 405 in Nike Metcon 7. Now, please, please tell me how it's stable, Men's Health. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. I think it just adds to the brand itself and just, I don't know, people connecting with it, because like review sites, yeah, they could be pretty freaking bland, dude. So having a personality that is constantly like engaging with the community, answering questions, putting themselves out there visually, it just helps strengthen that really like strong rooted foundation of trust, authority, and building something that people can actually connect with versus like just come to once a year for a review here and there, you know? Like I have people who are like, will message me and they're like, dude, I wasn't even fucking interested in this. And now I'm like reading about review. it's just crazy, man. Like I literally just got a message literally last night on Instagram from somebody who's like, I had no idea about how deep shoes go. And now I've read like 10 of your articles and I don't know what to do, but also I do know what to do. And it's so great. And I'm like, this is fantastic. This is all.
Yeah. I mean, you suck people into your world like that. I mean, and how many times is that happening and people aren't actually messaging you, right? How many times are people just getting sucked in with a video and then all of a sudden they're on your website and they're reading 2 or 3 reviews or going through your shoe calculator? And you know, I think you hit the nail when it comes to thinking about user experience, right? Like it's like, I'm trying to create the best experience possible for somebody when they land on this page. It's like, I have my custom pictures. I have a custom YouTube video that goes along with these. I have so many questions, but we're going to come to the end here. I think it'd be interesting to have you back on the podcast to talk about how do you scale this, right? Because I think right now, like you spent a year building up this really cool brand, and it's certainly profitable. I think by any measure, you're at basically at full-time income levels. Your site is, performing really well. And I think it's only the sky's the limit here, but how do you take this from where it's currently at to like a seven or eight figure brand, which I think it does have the potential to be there. But how do you scale it beyond yourself? I think that's like another interesting conversation to have. Because I think a lot of people will be listening to this and be like, well, yeah, like, I want to do all those things, but how do I do that? Like, if you're working whatever, 60 hour weeks or whatever for a full year, it's like, of course you can build this brand, but it's like, well, how do you do that if you want to outsource it? Or eventually, like in your stage, it's like in a year's time, you will have to start to outsource it. If you want to bring it into a 7 or 8 figure brand, I think that needs to happen. But I don't want to talk about that now. I want to actually probably end with a story about you getting featured in Men's Health. I think that's an interesting story. Recently, were you on the cover of Men's Health? Or
No. I'm not that relevant. I'm not pretty enough either.
I thought you were on the cover of Men's Health, and I'm just like, I'm like, man, that fit fin is really growing.
No, not on the cover.
But you were featured. You were featured.
Yeah. I had like a 2-page spread, which is pretty cool.
You had a 2-page spread in Men's Health, and did they find you through that FitFriend?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. Like, I had known the editors there, obviously, from Barbin. Like, we were all kind of like at same events and stuff. And
I think that's like, probably just on that point. Like, it seems to me like you have to be involved in the industry. Like, if there's like shoe conferences or expos or whatever, and you're in the shoe industry, it's like, you got to show up, you got to shake hands, like, you got to do some of this stuff in person if you want to grow a big brand. And now I think that the model is a little bit different. I think you can obviously be successful not doing that stuff, but I think if you want to grow a big brand, I think what you're doing is like, those connections just seem so invaluable.
Yeah. And it's, well, I mean, it also shows like you're in it, you know, like you are physically in the shit with everybody else and stuff. And so how it came about was I was like talking about doing this thing, and like Adam, like the first off, credit's due to like Adam Klink is the first guy who did like the squat 500 run sub 5 minute mile. And so for context, I'm trying to squat 500, run a sub 5 minute mile, and deadlift over 500 pounds all within the same day. And so like he was the originator of that. And at the time I was powerlifting, and I was just like bored as shit of it, dude. Like I'm so over powerlifting. It's boring as shit. And so I was like, how can I implement my favorite lifts, AKA the squat and deadlift, because your boy has a terrible bench. And I was like, I want to start running more because like we're in Colorado, like we go on all these hikes, we do all these trail runs, like I'm tired of being winded from not doing much. So I had this idea, and I like shared it publicly, and then randomly like one of the editors was like, hey, like I think this could be a really cool story, like could one of our writers cover it, yada yada. So I did an interview with one of the writers, and like I had an idea, like
so how did they find out that you wanted to do this? Like, were you just putting it up on your YouTube channel and stuff?
Yeah, I put it on YouTube and then shared it on Instagram. And like one of the editors was like, hey, I saw your YouTube video. And like, there's definitely a story here, because like you have all these pro athletes who have crushed this feat, but they're like, we want to focus on you being like the normal Joe, like the normal layman guy. And I was like, I'm like flattered, but also like, fuck me. Like I'm the gin pop. I'm the JV team trying this. They're like, look at this guy go, like let's try to encourage him. I did this interview with them, and they basically like, they was supposed to be like a 4-page spread, but they ended up having to cut it down to 2 because it was in the print. And so it's basically just like talking about the feed itself and stuff like that. And also like the fact that I work with these guys and these editors and like help them whenever they have asked for me, I think that also helps contribute to it. So to your point, like, you got to network in your industry. If you want to be a really strong player in your niche, you got to be at least like somewhere in there to where people know who you are. People have seen you. They know you're a person. They know you're somebody who's doing the exact stuff that you're talking about and like walking that walk. I was featured in the January magazine, which is really cool. Unfortunately, it was print, so it's locked behind a paywall, so you can't find it on their site, which I didn't know until after it went live. And I was like, damn. But dude, like it's surreal, because like what took me to New York when I was a kid, like at 18 from St. Louis, Missouri, was to eventually work at Men's Health. And so like while that never came to fruition, and when I did, I interned there and stuff, and like they actually tried to headhunt me when I was at Barbin, but I got to turn them down, which felt good. like getting featured in this magazine is kind of like full circle. And it like, with the growth of TF2 and with doing this and like truly loving what I'm doing right now, it just is like a nice, like icing on the cake after like a really like up and down 2021. For sure. Especially with like the stress levels and like where my head's been. So yeah, man, I was featured in Men's Health. It was pretty neat. I was like super stoked on it.
It's cool. I mean, you just don't really know who's, I mean, obviously you had some prior connection, you know, before they reached out, but you just don't know like who's following your YouTube channel. Like, especially if you're putting yourself out there, like, I mean, why wouldn't editors of magazines be trying to follow influencers in the space? You know, people who are doing product reviews and stuff like that. And so you just never know. And your YouTube channel, I mean, it's been growing. I mean, you're putting out some steady content. How many subscribers are you at right now?
I believe I just passed like 6,100. And like, cool. For context, like I shoot and edit all of my own stuff. Like I don't outsource any of that. There will come a point in which I need to, but
I just it blows me away. Like it blows me away just like how crazy your growth has been over the last year, and just everything that you do. I think it would be effective maybe in year two to start thinking about areas where you could probably outsource some of these things. Yeah. But I'm super excited by your site. I mean, I'm super with all the algorithm updates that have come down the pipe around product reviews, and I take a look at your traffic, it's like, I mean, it's just up and to the right. Obviously, Google is favoring this type of content. It's probably, I mean, in my mind, this is the standard and the model for the future in terms of affiliate marketing. You know, I see a few other websites doing stuff like this, but I just think that this, as you said, like, I think this is good for the industry because it's creating more barrier to entry, right? I think the higher the barrier to entry is, I think we're going to start to see more real businesses and bigger businesses being built, because there's going to be less of these sort of, you know, affiliate sites that are just, you know, like a shell, you know, like no substance to it. So yeah, really love what you're doing here, Jake. Obviously we could talk for hours here. So, is there if people want to get in touch with you, or do you want to refer people to somewhere?
Yeah, for sure. If you have any questions on any of the rambling that I did in this episode, hopefully it made sense. But if you have any questions, my YouTube is Jake at That Fit Friend, or just Jake Boley, Boly. Either should pop up the channel. You can follow there. That's super helpful. You don't have to watch every video, but a subscribe helps a ton. And then if you want to get into contact with me personally, hit me on Instagram at Jake_Boley, Boly. And then from there, like if you have any specific questions, we can connect via email through there. But that's the best way to get my attention, because my email is an absolute shit show. So I like to funnel people to Instagram, and then I'm like, okay, now that I know who you are, now let's connect via email, because it's way easier for me to keep tabs. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Jake. We'll have to have you on again soon. And thanks for all your time and expertise.
Of course. Thank you. I'm super grateful to come on, man. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.